The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, fellas, thank you. Take your Bible and go back, if you will. Look at 2 Kings chapter 2 and in verse 9, and here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah," again, that's the older man, "said unto Elisha," that's the younger man, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I'm taken away from thee." And Elisha, the younger man, said, he said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit rest," or be, it says, "double portion of thy spirit be upon me." Many years ago, as a young preacher, I had the privilege to hear men like Dr. Harold Seitler, Dr. Lester Rohoff, Dr. Shelton Smith, Dr. Lee Robertson, Dr. Bob Gray, Dr. Curtis Hudson, Dr. Ryan Riley, Dr. Jack Hiles, Dr. Carl Hatch, Dr. Tom Malone, many, many others. And I'd sit there in the pew as a young man, and I'd watch them, and I would say, "Oh, dear God, I'd like one day to be used that way. I'd like for you to breathe on me. I'd like for you to touch me. I'd like to be able one day to be able to have a ministry that I would be able to help more people than the common guy." And Lord, I pray that you would do that. Now, I remember getting with several of these men, and I would go to them, and I would say, "Would you do me a favor? Would you just lay your hands on me, and would you just pray? And would you pray that God would use me, please, in a fashion like he has used you?" And they did. And God has been very kind to me over the years. He has. I've been able to preach to crowds, very large. I think the largest I think I've ever preached to is between 14 and 15,000. That's the largest I've ever spoken to. I've been able to go to different places around the world and preach a gospel message to people that was on the side of a hill, people that would come out from the public schools. And I've seen hundreds of thousands of people come to know Christ as Savior. But I really believe this with all my heart, that God could do more right here. I have a burden for our city. I have a burden for the cities that's around here. And I want you to listen to the message tonight. And I'm going to ask you to respond to the message tonight in an unusual fashion in which you've never responded to before. But I want you to listen to it. I want you to listen to the heart of your pastor. I learned recently that there are five cities in America that are among the fastest growing cities of today. Out of those five cities that's in America, three of those are in Texas. Out of the three cities that are in Texas, Dallas ranks one of those three. They say, as I said this morning, that there's over 10,000 people moving to Dallas every month. Why is that? Why is it that God is opening up the channel for people to come here? You may answer that tonight. You may say, "Well, preacher, I know why. It's because the cost of living is so low." And that might be what they see. And that might be what others may see. You may say, "Well, I know why people are leaving their homes, uprooting, and moving to Dallas, because the economy is so good. I mean, you can come here and, well, we have one of the greatest economies in our nation." Matter of fact, on Fox News, they were saying that everybody just needs to drop whatever they're doing and just copy whatever Texas is doing, because what they're doing is working, and what the rest of the nation is doing is not working. Now, that's not a slap. That's just a report from Fox News. Can I tell you, however, that I don't believe either one of those things are true. I believe, and my wife could attest to this, when we were in Union City, Tennessee, it was a small town. We had 13,000 people or so that was in the town. And we went to that town believing that was the will of God. And when we went to that town believing it was the will of God, God in his graciousness and God in his kindness opened doors, and the town grew. I don't think it's because a preacher came to town. I do believe that because the church developed a soul-winning heart. I believe it's because God said, "If I send people to that town, there is a church that has a soul-winning heart." Now, I want to make something clear because I've got a lot of preachers here in Dallas and in the Dallas regional area that listen to my sermons every week. And so that you don't think I'm slapping on you as a preacher as you listen in, I'm not saying we're the only church. Now, you listen to me carefully. But I believe as churches come together, as you learned in your Sunday school lesson this morning, as the church there in the Ephesus area, and as they united, if you would please, to be able to get the gospel out or at least to participate in the same type of program, I believe that God has given us, Parkside Baptist Church, and other churches that's in our region, a great opportunity. A great opportunity to rise up and to reach people. We have people from all sorts of backgrounds that's moving here. We have people that are from all sorts of different cultures that's moving here. By the way, you're looking at a church and you're looking at a pastor tonight that we're not a prejudiced church. We say you're welcome here. It doesn't matter what your ethnic background is. It doesn't matter what the pigment of your skin is. It doesn't matter what your degree of intelligence is or the status of your financial well-being. You're welcome here. And so we open the doors and we say, come on in. And that's the way every church ought to be. And I do believe that independent Baptist churches are more like that probably than most churches around America. But can I tell you tonight that in order to be able to receive, and God's been good to us. Look, can I tell you, I'm not complaining. Yes, we've had some people leave, but if you look around, we've had more people come than's left. You know, we've had some people that say, I don't want that, and that's fine. Life is about choices, and they can make choices, and I'll not give my opinion about their choices. But I will tell you this, there has been people that's made choices that have come here. We've had, I think, 13 different states that's uprooted or so and has moved here, joined our church, and they're faithfully serving God. Our college is going to have a greater enrollment than I believe it's ever had in its history. We got young people coming here from different states that we've never had before. We're ready. We're excited. Our church is growing. And so I believe God's been very good to us. I know churches today that have closed their doors, and yet we're still growing. I know churches today that are struggling, and yet God seemingly has been kind to us in many ways to be able to help us, to be able to encourage us. And God is a God that does that. But can I tell you, I do believe we need to do a little bit more. I don't get mad at me when I say that tonight. I want you to listen to me. I don't want you to turn me off. I want you to listen to everything I'm saying tonight. I believe that God could do a little bit more. But I believe that God's going to have a people. A people that say, this is it for me. A people that root down and say, I'm not going to be led, if you would please, by every wind of doctrine that's out there. But I'm going to stay by the stuff. And I'm going to root down and I'm going to plant myself. And I'm going to get my head in the game, if you would please. And I'm going to make this my church. And I'm going to make this man that's behind that pulpit my pastor. And we're going to go forward and we're going to see God do some things. I'll be honest with you. There's been some discouraging times since I've been here. Hello. I traveled as an evangelist for 12 years. During those 12 years, Brother Purvis, everybody came. Everybody came. Brother Barker, for the first time in my life, I came to a church. And God blessed. But then I saw a couple people leave. Brother Castillo, and that broke my heart. I'd walk down a lonely hallway to a lonely office and get on my knees and say, dear God, why are they leaving? Now, you do have a pastor that has a heart. And Brother Stead, I don't apologize for my heart. Though sometimes I wish it would stop, not beating. But sometimes I wish, Brother Bell, I wish sometimes I wasn't so sensitive. Mrs. Bell, I wish that sometimes I'd have a heart that it doesn't matter what happens. But Brother Harrison, I just keep going and not feel a tug. But I'm sorry, I'm not built that way. So you'll see people come, and I rejoice, like any preacher does, by the way. But then you'll see some people that leave. And one thing that happened to us when we were in evangelism is we had to learn when we went into a house that we loved deeply and we loved quickly. Because we're only going to be there for 4 days. So you had to learn to give your heart deeply and to give your heart quickly. And we learned to fall into love with the people deeply and quickly, very fast. So when we came to Parkside Baptist Church, we fell in love with people. Understand, I never thought I'd be hurt. Never did. I was used to the heydays. I was an evangelist. People brought buses to hear me preach. Vans to hear me preach. Carloads to hear me preach. I mean, we had some good meetings. Boy, we filled churches up. They put chairs sometimes in the aisles and wanted to extend meetings. And people would bring visitors from all around and churches would come. I was so used to that, I got spoiled. So Brother Costa, what happened was when people started to leave, it broke me. I mean, it crushed me to the point that I thought, man, what in the world is going on? I was at the Sword Conference, and one of the preachers got up, and he said, you know, anybody that God uses greatly, he's got to break them deeply. And I thought, wow, maybe that's why I've gone through just a little bit. Maybe that's how come some of you have gone through just a little bit. Some of you have had relatives that's left. Maybe that's how come you've gone through some things. Because in order for God to use you greatly, he's going to have to break you deeply. Now, let me give you some things tonight from a preacher's heart. And I want to show you some things that would be helpful. Here's a young man that is desirous to be used of God. The Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 2 and in verse 10, and he said, thou hast asked. Now he just got done in verse 9, asking for a double portion. In verse 10, he says this. He said, you, watch what he says. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, he said, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So the old man said to the young man, if this is what you really want and you want a double portion, he said, if you'll be in the right place at the right time, I'll give you that if you're doing the right thing. Verse 11, the Bible says, and it came to pass as they went on and talked that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them. The Bible says both asunder, so it divided them. And Elijah, that's the older man, Elijah, went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Look at verse 12. The Bible says, and Elisha saw it. So he did see it. He was in the right place, right time. The Bible says, and Elisha saw it, and he cried. He said, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he, watch what he says, and he took hold of his clothes. You can tell that it is having an emotional tag on him, a pull, if you will. The Bible says, and he took his clothes, his own clothes, and he rent them in two pieces. The Bible says in verse 13, and he took up also the mantle of Elijah, that's the older man, that fell from him. And he went back and he stood beside the bank of Jordan. Now let me give you just some Bible teaching here for just a moment and I'll preach to you. The mantle represented that which was the will of God. The mantle was a symbol of that which is the power of God. It was an evidence, a picture, if you will, of that which is the working of God. So God said through this older man, Elijah, to the younger man, Elisha, that he said, I'll give you the will of God. I'll give you the power of God. But you got to be in the right place at the right time, accomplishing the right thing in order for that to be fallen upon you. We understand that the will of God oftentimes is given to people different ways. We understand the will of God is revealed to people different ways. We understand that Moses received the calling of God to perform the will of God two times. Did God call his name out of the burning bush? One time as he's walking by and all of a sudden God speaks through the burning bush and says, Moses! And I believe God had to call him a second time because I believe Moses was on the run. Not because he wanted to desert God or because of the fact that he was backslidden. It's just the fact he's never heard anybody speak his name out of a bush before. So it's probably all in shock, but called his name twice. You'll see that Jonah had the calling of God upon his life, and God reminded him twice. The Bible says, and the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. You'll see that Samuel, three times he went in to face Eli, that was the one that was placed in authority of his life. And on that third time, as he came in to face Eli, Eli said, it's not I that calls you, it's the Lord. And so when the Lord calls you, here's what you say, here am I. And he did, and God revealed his will. But there was, in Samuel's life, four times that God had to call him to get attention. And that which is Elijah's life, we know of one. And that which is Elijah's life, Elijah older, Elisha younger, there's one. We do understand this, that Romans chapter 11 and verse 30, the Bible says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The word repentance means God doesn't change his mind. So if God ever has ever called you to preach as a man, God hadn't changed his mind. God has ever called you to do something as a man, now he may change your course, but he never changes your calling. There's a difference between a calling and a course or a position. And so, but God gives you a calling that's in your life, and he doesn't change that calling. Now, I want to give you some things about how is it that we can get a double portion. I believe that God wants us to get on our knees and just say, God, you put us here. We're, by the way, we're here as a church family tonight. And I believe that God has brought us together as a church family, not to work against each other, but to work with each other for the accomplishment of the will of God. So how is it tonight that we can have that? How is it tonight that we can do that? I want to give you just a couple of thoughts tonight, and I'll finish. But let me preach to you for just a little bit. Notice 2 Kings chapter 2 and in verse 5. The Bible says, and the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha, that's the younger man, and said unto him, knowest thou not that the Lord would take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Now there was a day when Brother May, Sr., pastored this place. There was a day when Brother May, Pastor Larry May, pastored this church. There was a day when God took away your head. There was a day when God took away your master according to the flesh standing behind the pulpit. Now there's a day in these people's lives where they come and they say to that which is young Elisha, they say, don't you know that today your head, your master, your leader is going to be taken away? And stay with me. And Elisha took it to heart so much that it broke him. Now understand, here was a man that is touched with the same infirmity that some of you were touched with when all of a sudden your previous pastor resigned. And you went through a hard time. Matter of fact, Elisha, the young guy, says to that which is the prophets that is bringing this story, this evidence, this truth to him. Here's what he says, I know it. He said, but hold your peace. In other words, he didn't want to hear it. Have you ever had such bad news that you just did not want to hear it? Have you ever had such bad news coming your way that you just did not really want to accept it? Have you ever been there? When I've had a couple people come to me and, you know, and I wish this would change. I really do. Man, if you feel led to lead the church, now God bless you and I love you. I might not agree with you, but I may agree with you. Really depends on what you tell me. But if you're going to lead the church, you know, I don't know about you, but I never made a big decision without consulting my pastor. I never did. When it came time for me to leave, well, I'll tell you how it was. My wife can attest to the fact. I was a youth director in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I was there for 6 years, and all of a sudden, Dr. Williams would get up, and he'd preach. And when he'd preach, I'd be sitting in the pew, and I'd be saying, ooh, I want to do that. Whew, I want to do that. I want a pastor. I got it in my blood. I want a pastor. So I went to Brother Williams. And I said, Brother Williams, I really believe God wants me to pastor. He said, you do, don't you? And he smiled a little bit. And he said, that's like jumping out of the skittle into the fire. He said, are you sure about that? And I said, yeah, I really believe. Well, I did not know at that time at Central he was having trouble out of an evangelist at that time. Both of them are in heaven, so I'm sure they don't have trouble anymore. But he was having trouble at an evangelist at that time that was giving him grief. And so Brother Williams looked at me. I've been there for 6 years. And Brother Williams looked at me and he said, I'll tell you what, I would give you my blessing. Now this is what my pastor said. He said, I would give you my blessing, but not today. I said, sir, what do you mean? He said, I'll give you my blessing, but not today. He said, I need you to give me a commitment that you'll stay 2 more years. I said, preacher. I said, I really believe God wants me to pastor. He said, I heard you. He said, but number one, I don't think you're ready for it. And until God convinces me as your pastor that you're ready for it, I'm telling you, you're not ready for it. And he said, so I tell you, I want 2 more years. You give me 2 more years and I'll give you my blessing. You leave here now, he said, you'll leave without my blessing. He said, I've got trouble in the church. And he said, it will hurt if you leave. And I said, oh, sir, I love you. I'd do anything for you. You know that. If somebody's pulling a gun on you tonight, I promise you I'd try and dismantle the guy. He knew how much I loved him. And I said, I'd try to get the gun from him, but nobody's going to hurt my preacher. And boy, you know, I said, look, I'll do it. I'll give you 2 more years. He said, all right, that means this. He said, I don't want to hear from you for 2 years. I marked my calendar. 2 years later to the date. I kept my word. I didn't go talk to him for 2 years about it. It never came up again, his conversation. Never one time. And I kept my word. And then I went back 2 years later, had it marked on my calendar. Went back 2 years later. I am a man that does keep my word, by the way. And so I had it marked on my calendar, and so I marked it on my calendar, and 2 years later I went back and said, preacher, 2 years ago today, you said, come back and you give me your blessing. I've got to go. Haven't talked about it for 2 years. He said, I know. I said, I got to go. He said, okay. And he gave me his blessing. And God opened up a door, and I went to Tennessee and pastored in Tennessee. Now, I'm saying this. Here's what the Bible says. There's got to be a right person in your life. Here, Elisha, the young man, looked to that which was Elijah, just like I looked to my former pastor, Brother Williams, and here, young Elisha was looking at older Elijah and said, I want to be blessed. I want a double portion. And Elijah looked back at the young man, Elisha, and said, you can have that, but you've got to do what I say. And so in so doing, here's what the older man was saying to the younger man, you do what I say, and then I will certainly stand instead for you with God and say, God, please help. Now, I'm not talking about preacher worship. I'm not a Baptist pope. But I'm saying this, for somehow or another, we've lost some things. We go to the dentist and we trust the dentist, and we don't put the dentist under scrutiny. We go to the doctor and we trust the doctor and we don't scrutinize the doctor. Doctor says, you need to have your liver taken out. You don't say, prove it. You say, are you sure? He says, yes, I'm sure. He gives you medicine. You don't even go home and evaluate what the medicine is. You take it. Now, why is it that you cannot trust other people the same way? Some of you don't even trust your husband. Why can't you have a trust factor? Why can't you take it? Have you been so hurt by so many people that you just don't trust anybody? I mean, have you set yourself up so much that you're the only right person living? Can I tell you, you're living on dangerous ground? Now, I'm saying you've got to have some right people in your life. You're not your own little island. You won't make it. Your island will sink. Right. There's got to be some right people in your life. He had a right person in his life. Statement number one. Statement number two. When you have a right person in your life, he'll help you create the right desires. Look in your Bible. The Bible says, watch it, 2 Kings chapter 2 and in verse 6. The Bible says, and Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee. The Bible says, for the Lord hath sent me. Watch what it says. To Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. He said, doesn't matter what, I got to stay beside you. I got to walk beside you. Now, may I tell you, every man of God wants somebody like that. Every man of God that is led of God to go a direction, all he's looking for is somebody to say, hey, let's rise up. Let's be a team. Let's go forward. Now, don't get mad at me when I say some things tonight, but I'm going to be very cut to the chase. I'm going to be very, very sincere to you tonight. Dr. Jack Howes did not build the First Baptist Church of Hammond. You listen to me tonight. You listen to me. Dr. Howes answered the call to go. Then there was people that looked at that man of God and said, I want that man of God to be my man of God. They opened up their hearts for training, and together God built a work. Now, you cannot sit there in a pew and say, well, I tell you what, I think that that the pastor and I think that the pastoral staff, man, they ought to do it all by themselves. No, it's a church, and God's called us to be a church. Now, I'm saying tonight, when you hang around, the things I know about Brother Hiles and what a great soul winner he was and what a great preacher he was. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. The things I know about Dr. Malone and some of these other people I named, the Dr. Lee Robertson, and the things I know about these men. None of them were perfect men, but there was a people that rose up and they said this. They said, I want that man is my man of God, and they adopted that man as their man of God, and together Dr. Hiles loved his people and his people loved him. Dr. Malone loved his people, and the people loved him. Dr. Robertson loved his people, and the people loved him. And because of that, you see that God worked in a mighty way, and their desires were to see that which was their areas and parts of the nation come to God. And it's always going to take a person. It's always going to take a people that has a desire to do something for him. Wait a minute, there has to be a place. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, listen to it now, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood. Watch it. Watch what it says. It says, and stood to view afar off. The Bible says, and they too, only two, stood by Jordan. You know, there was those that was the 50 sons of the prophets. 50 sons of the prophets. 50 preacher boys knew the book. Knew what was right, but decided they would not walk on. These were onlookers. These were pew sitters. These were people that would come and they would say, well, I'm just going to view. And the Bible says that they viewed afar off. You know, if I was going to a ball game, I'd much rather play than watch. I'd much rather be involved than not involved. You listen to me. Don't get mad at me. Some of the biggest complainers I have ever found in an independent Baptist church are the do-gooders that simply accomplish nothing. They never come soul-winning, but they'll bellyache about everybody else. They'll never go to the altar, but they bellyache about everything. They'll get on Facebook and criticize. They'll get on other media, and they'll tear somebody up, but you'll never see them work a bus route. Now, I'm saying there's got to be a place. The Bible says it too. And by the way, you know where you are. That's why I say it's a heart thing. You have to evaluate the heart. Where are you at? Where are you at? Can you sit there tonight and say, boy, Parkside Baptist Church is my church, and I'm proud to be a member of Parkside Baptist Church? Can you sit there and say that? If not, then you're not on board. It's got to be a heart thing. See, I'm saying tonight there's got to be a right person. That right person will create a desire in you. That desire in you will be a desire to be in a place. a place. Wait a minute. When you're in the right place, you have a right view. Notice your Bible tonight. The Bible says in 2 Kings, listen to it now, 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 8. The Bible says, and Elijah, that's the older man, took his mantle, wrapped it together and smote the waters. The Bible says, and they were divided hither and thither. Now watch what happens, that they too went over on dry ground. What about the other 50? We don't forget now, they were viewing afar off. They were the ones that weren't involved. They saw it, but they did not have a hand on it to make it. And so there was those that said, well, I'll come when I want to, and but I'm not going to get totally involved because after all, I just don't feel comfortable. Well, get out of your feeling comfortable and feel uncomfortable if that's what it takes to serve God. Here's what you see. You see this, that only they too saw the dry ground. Only they too was in a place where they saw God working because they were involved. Watch this, if you will. And I'll give you the last point, and that's it. All right? They were in the right place. Because they're in the right place, they had the right view. Because they're in the right place, they had the right view, it created a right craving, and I'm done. Look at it in verse 9. The Bible says here, and it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah, older man, said to Elisha, younger man, ask what I shall do for thee before I'm taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now there's the younger man. And he says, I'd like to see you do double. Watch this, if you will, in verse 14. The Bible says, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and he smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha, the younger man, went over. Same miracle. Same miracle. Watch this in verse 15. The Bible says, when the sons of the prophets that were to view at Jericho saw him, now they stayed behind. But all of a sudden they saw him come back. They saw what took place. The Bible says, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him, and they bowed themselves to the ground before him. Now, can I say, these men could have had the same thing. All 50 of them could have said, hey, I want to go with you. I want to go and see what God is going to do. There's only two. It was only two. Now, wait a minute. I really believe with all my heart, I've never been in a place, honestly, I lived in Brooklyn, New York for years. When we lived in Brooklyn, New York, it was declining in population. There was 9 million when we lived there back in the early 1980s, 9 million people. But it was on the decline, not the incline. It's people still coming from different nations. And there's still a lot of people to reach. But I've never been in a place that is on the incline. Stay with me. I've never been in a place, others may, but I've never been in a place that has been on the incline numerically as fast and as rapid as this place. As this place. I was at the Sword Conference when I preached there. One of the preachers came up to me and said, hey, Brother Wells, wouldn't you like to take a country church? I said, I think I'm satisfied where I am. Because I have a heart's desire for where God put me. Just like they have a heart's desire for where God put them. And since I have a heart's desire for where God put me, and since you and I are here together, then why don't we covet together before the Lord to reach as many people as we possibly can? Because God is sending them here. I believe because you're here. And because I'm here. Boy, I think it'd be good. Rather than saying, well, I tell you what, I heard about so-and-so that is leaving. And now I come back and I say, well, I'll tell you about three so-and-sos that's coming. Five so-and-sos that's coming. 10 so-and-sos that's coming. But bless your heart, if you're not careful, here's what you'll do. Because you have a friend You'll look at the friend that decided that they're going to jump ship and go someplace else. Now, you stay with me. And if you're not careful, you'll be like young Elisha. When all of a sudden those guys came up and said, "Don't you know that today your head is taken away?" And he said, hold your peace. Don't want to hear that. You can't tell me that he didn't sense a hurt on the inside. You can't tell me that. But you think that when somebody leaves that you're the only one that goes through hurt. Can I tell you, that's not true. There's not been a person that's left this church, Brother Denton, that I've not been in my office on my knees crying. And I'm a man. I've taken many gut shots. And somebody comes up and they slap me, Travis, I tell you what. Somebody comes up on the parking lot, because I'm a man. I'm a man. You know, Brother Kevin, I'm a man. I'm a man. Josh, you got a daddy that's a man. Somebody comes up and my flesh will rise. Now I'll be like Paul and I'll try to be spiritual. And I'll say, "Get down, bad boy, get down. But somebody comes up and boy, they take a gut shot and they hit me in the gut. My first thing is I want to whip back and say, "Go meet your Jesus." Now I won't do it. I won't do it. We say an awe for it. I won't do it. There's not been one person that's left this church I've tried to destroy. I've tried to hurt. You've been in staff meetings. Have I crucified anybody in staff meetings? Have I called names of people and tried to destroy them in staff meetings? Have I spoken illy about anybody in staff meeting? Have I done that? I ain't called one name. I didn't try to hurt anybody. Now you listen to me. So what do? I just walk on. That's all I do. I just walk on. I'll be quiet. I get alone. Brother Champion, I'll shed the tears. But I just walk on. Now, I believe God wants to bless this place. He's already done it. You check this crowd out compared to the crowd that was here before I came. There's a whole lot more of you. Now, some of you were different, but you were born that way. But I want to tell you something. I believe God. What I want us to do tonight is I want us to gather around an altar, and I want us to give ourselves to the Lord and say, "Dear Lord, please use me." And I want you to pray for your preacher. And I want you to pray for these staff guys. I want you to pray for this church. Listen to me tonight. That God would pour a double portion. A double portion. Say, "Preacher, if I do that and it packs out, I might not like it. But it's better to help some more than less." It's better to help more bus kids than less bus kids. It's better to help more families than less families. Oh, let's not be selfish tonight. Let's go on our knees in front of a holy God and say, "Dear God, we ask you for your blessing doubly upon this place." And let's trust a holy God tonight that a holy God will do that. And we'll be able to see more people come to know Christ. Lives be changed forever. Would you do that? Let's all stand. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed tonight.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.